Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game live at Vanderbilt University today. The McGugan Center. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason here with you as Vanderbilt will take on Tennessee this week. We'll get more into that a little bit later. Might be joined by couple of dignitaries from Vanderbilt Athletics, also Clark Lee at 1:30. But the Titans also back in action this Sunday against Cincinnati. The first time meeting the Bengals since the playoff game here in Nashville in January, in which they lost. How is Ryan Tannehill going to get over that, so to speak? Even though he probably says he already is, you know it's been on his mind. He's going to speak today, so I'm curious to hear what he has to say. We'll also
see. He might get asked about it.
Of course. It might come up. I think there's a chance.
He might get asked about it. Just a little bit. You know.
Ryan, talk about your mindset going into this week. Could you talk about the schedule
a little bit? Yeah, there we go.
We'll see if we get an update on Todd Downing as well. I don't know what Mike Vrabel can provide there, but, I mean, that's certainly going to be brought up too.
If I were the Titans, I think I would like to know what the story is so my team can prepare, right? I think I wouldn't want to have it strung out until Thursday, Friday. Hey, am I going to have him or not going to have him? Is he suspended? Is he in? You know, what's – I'd like to know.
Well, the coordinators are supposed to talk tomorrow, so I'm wondering if
he will be allowed to talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm the Titans, I am getting out in front of it.
Yep.
And I'm explaining to him, listen, we're going to suspend you for this game and move forward from there. Because the last thing you want is the NFL to come down on you, you know, last game of the season, the first game of playoffs. Not to say that they would do that. You would hope that they would try to get some done within the next couple of weeks. But, you know, you getting in front of it and imposing your penalty on him, I think that would speak volumes to the NFL.
No, I do too.
Can they do it? I don't know.
They can. Yeah. I mean, look, I would think at this point, they're going to know more than we do. They're going to have some of the facts that they've been waiting on.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he is suspended for this game.
I think if Vrabel said, hey, you know what, we've decided to suspend Todd this week, either whoever will be calling plays, Tim Kelly or Pat O'Hara or himself will call plays, then, you know.
But I think you do it in conjunction with the league. I don't think you do something before the league has – I think you're working with the league on this.
That's what I'm saying,
I would be trying to say, look, we've given you the information. Can we get this resolved so we can prepare for the game on Sunday? We got a big game. We want to know your thoughts. Look, we've given you all the information you can have. We would like a resolution here.
But I think I was listening to either – the morning show or the evening show when this all went down, and it might have been the day after or something like that. And they said, well, the question was asked, will the league make an example of Downey, considering what's been going on? Like, it's crazy how these videos started popping up, and then you get a offensive coordinator getting off a plane, going home, get pulled over for speeding, and suspicion of DUI. You saw all these other posts out there with beer next to guys and all this other stuff, and then he gets pulled over.
Right.
So my thing is, you know, will the league – I think the league will make an example. I think that – I mean, they have before with players.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't they do it, or why do you think they will not do it with the coach?
Well,
considering what's been out there, like, within the last month of players celebrating on a plane and you see alcohol.
They almost have to because they've revealed that there's a rule
exactly
in place where you're not supposed to have it, and clearly it's been happening, and everybody knows it. Like,
exactly.
Like, I mean,
this is one of those unwritten or unseen things. Like, you know it's on planes, but nobody says anything about it.
Right.
Because they think, oh, you know, you'll be responsible. If you do have a few, you'll be responsible and you'll make it home.
Sure.
Somehow. But in this case, you know, he made it home, but he unfortunately got pulled over for speeding.
You know, as much money as the NFL has, can we not just have like a, you know, the Titan bus that just picks him up and just drops everybody off? Meet at the bus stop.
Well, for a while they had it, you know, where, you know, we would all take the bus. I don't know if they do it like this now. There was a period where I think right after 9/11, where we started riding the bus to the airport, getting checked in, going through all that stuff, and then when we came back, everybody jumped on the bus and everybody went back to the facility.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can get your ride from the facility a little bit easier.
Yeah, maybe they have some rides.
Or
ready
your spouse is waiting on you there, or your girlfriend or whatnot is waiting on you there to pick you up.
And so, you can leave your car there.
You can leave your car
out of the
and
airport.
Then get a ride to the facility the next day and your car's still there.
Right.
So maybe they need to go back to that. You know?
It's all, you know, but this is just, you're a professional, you're a grown man, you know you're getting back at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And you know your car is at the
There's
airport.
There's no excuse.
You've
There's
just
no
got
excuse,
to, you've got to take responsibility.
There's
as
no excuse
Mike
for
Vrabel
it.
Said at the press conference, you got to make great decisions. You're held to a high standard. You know what the policy is. And you know, look, even if people in general have been violating this policy that's been out there for years, we know a lot of teams have.
Sure.
You got to take that into account. You got to know, be responsible.
Yeah, and they've learned the hard way. What's going to be interesting though is this is now under Mike Vrabel the second situation where clearly there's been a directive that wasn't followed.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to COVID. Remember they had the COVID outbreak and were they at NBA practicing? We were giving Chris a hard time. Hey, can you look out your office window? Like, what's going on? And you know, there was that, and that was a whole thing. And then now you have this. And again, they're not the only team to do this.
Yeah.
They're not
but they
the
were
only,
sort of exonerated.
He's the only one that got caught.
To some degree.
To some degree. The hammer
COVID
was
thing.
Not dropped.
And that was such a different set of circumstances. You know, that was, we're talking about a pandemic, and that was crazy. Everything was going on then. This looks pretty straightforward here. I see the comparison, but it's pretty different to me.
Yeah.
But there has to be, from the league standpoint, because of social media and players post a lot on the plane after a big win, there has to be, you know, more of a hard line when it comes to that rule. And unfortunately, Downing and the Titans may have to feel the brunt of it because of it, you know, because more and more videos are going to start coming out of guys videotaping on planes.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm sure they will. If there is anything around, they will move it out the way. But, you know, a little bit too late now. You know, so I do think the NFL will make an example of him. Now, would they suspend him more than one game? I don't know.
We'll
but
see.
They will make an example, I believe.
Coming up next, we'll talk to David Poyle, Preds GM. But real quick, I mentioned earlier that the band I saw last night, the keyboard player, looked like Mike Leach.
Mm-hmm.
Alyssa Lang of the SEC Network has weighed in on Twitter and said, I've been staring at this photo for hours trying to convince myself that this is not Coach Leach. Because the original tweet was, I tagged her and said, I said, when Coach Leach isn't coaching Mississippi State or giving wedding advice to Alyssa Lang, he plays keyboards at Rippey's in Nashville on Monday. Good stuff. We'll talk to Preds GM David Poyle next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right, let's talk Lee Company, 615-567-1000, proud sponsor of Nashville Predators Hockey. The next chapter on the journey will be tomorrow in Motown against the Detroit Red Wings. Our coverage will begin at 5 o'clock Central Time. Max Hurst will be on the call, and we will have great pregame coverage for you. And it's brought to you by Lee Company, who is ready for you with all of your needs when it comes to heating, cooling, plumbing, and electric. That's their home base, and so we always recommend here on this show, because we have it in the Donick House, is that you get on the home maintenance plan where you get that year-round coverage, annual checkups, recommendations, and discounts on repairs with the very nominal monthly fee that you pay. It is well worth it, and you're going to save money in the long term. But remember, just general maintenance, too. You got issues that are going on in your house with doors, floors, windows, whatever it is, call 615-567-1000 and talk to the folks at Lee Company. Or you can always go online and make an appointment at LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game live at Vanderbilt University. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poile momentarily, as he should be calling in, as got his 1,500th win last night with that shootout win. I feel like it's something
1,500.
New. 1,500. I know. I feel like it's a milestone almost every game. Yeah. for David Poile. So we'll chat with him. But the Predators get the 4-3 shootout win against a pesky Arizona team last night. Continue to see some good things out of Yusso Parsonen. And, you know, I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road this morning, and they were talking about Parsonen. And Robbie made a pretty emphatic statement saying that he's seen enough in the short amount of time with Parsonen that – says that he's not going anywhere, that he's an everyday NHL player. And I would agree with him. I think you're seeing that. He's playing well beyond his years. He's a big body, and I think he's really added to this lineup.
I continue to be impressed with not only his threat as a scorer, things like that, but and his size, but just the overall awareness, maturity to be able to handle the guys that he's playing against. He's playing against the other team's top guys, and he's got a lot of responsibility for a guy that was just thrown in there as a top six, you know, centerman. So,
well, they must have saw something from him.
No
that
question
they, that they threw him in there like that.
No question about it. And so he looks like he belongs. And so I'm kind of with Robbie. I think this one has a really good chance to stick. Now, you never know, like the grind.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do it again tomorrow, and then you got Friday, Saturday. He's young. You know, how is he going to handle that part of it? You know, it's still a little bit early to really do that, but all of the signs point to a guy that is a keeper.
I think if they saw enough in him that they brought him up and put him in that six-man rotation. If he continues to play consistent but may have a lull toward the end of the season, I think isn't that something to be expected?
Yeah, well, that's another thing
guy,
about
yeah.
They always say, you know, you could hit the wall.
You've
never played an 82-game schedule before. That'll be something that he would have to deal with. And I think some of their guys in their first 82-game season last year were dealing with that. Alex Carrier, Tanner Janot, some guys like that. So there's a lot of chapters still to be written here as you get close to a quarter of the way through the season here. But he's given them a big, big lift. We always talk about Thanksgiving as a marker that you look for.
Yep.
And it looks pretty clear now that there is a huge pack of teams. Yeah, Nashville by no means is above the line, but they're not below the line either. There's about four teams that I was looking this morning. They all have 20 points or 22 points. There's a huge pack of teams within 2 or 3 points. So they've done a good job of staying with the group and not falling way behind the group, which is what you were worried when they came back from that road trip.
So in the NFL, they say, well, you know, it's November, December is when those teams start. The good teams start separating themselves from everybody else, and it happens every year. There may be one or two teams that just come out of nowhere and continue to press on, but for the most part, it's mid-November. December into January is where those good teams start to separate themselves from everybody else. When is it in hockey that happened? Because the halfway point isn't Thanksgiving, you know?
Right.
So it has to happen sometime where in January.
Yeah, I think January is a good one. I would say mid-January you really want to know where you are. But I think, are we ready for David
Poile?
We
are. Okay, we are ready for David Poile. Predators General Manager David Poile on the line with us now, and I'm sure he's been, you know, busy celebrating win number 1,500. David, I kind of feel like we need a little bit of a heads up for all these milestones that, you know, you keep hitting, because I feel like it's almost every game we're celebrating you.
Well, that's very nice. I appreciate that. But I think that's it. So 1,500 is that's a huge number for wins, and what a couple of weeks ago was 3,000 games. So kind of proud of that. Obviously very pleased with all the players, coaches, scouts that I've had that have done so much work to put me in a position to have good teams and have a winning record. So I'm really proud of that. I must tell you that I was pretty well focused on the game last night when it was so close and going into overtime and the shootout. That was quite the game. So memorable night.
Yeah, absolutely. 4-0-1 on this homestand as your team gets the win 4-3 in the shootout last night over Arizona. You have to be pleased with what you're seeing out of your team right now as they came back off that road trip and really took care of business at home.
Yeah, we're making progress. Obviously, we were in a kind of a bad spot when we came off the road. And, we go to Detroit, as you said, today to play there tomorrow. But we have, then we have four more games at home. So this is a really good stretch for us to get back in the race, which now we've done. But to get our game, more consistent, and I can see signs of that throughout the game. But by no means are we where we want to be. But I do think we're improving. And since the start of the season, we have made some significant changes, bringing Jankowski onto our team, and he's done a good job more or less playing on the third line. And then UC Parson looks like that's going to be a real good story. He was one of our best players at training camp, but we felt that the road to Nashville was through Milwaukee, and we thought he could benefit from learning a lot and playing a lot down there this year. But I'm really glad we brought him up, and he seems to have the hunger and the desire to play in the league right now, and he's done a terrific job for us. So we've been really, really pleased with his play. And I think we got a couple other good players down in Milwaukee that I think before it's all said and done, that we will give them a little bit of a try, at some point in this season, just to keep everybody honest. Let's put it that way.
On Parson, I think that's interesting what you just said. How does that process work when you have a plan for a guy that you want him to get some reps in Milwaukee, because you use the old adage, all roads to Nashville go through Milwaukee, but he's just performing so well. Is that a conversation where Scott Nichol comes to you and says, David, like, we got to give this kid a chance. He's too good right now. We got to see what he can do. Or how does that process work to finally make the move like that?
Well, we talk every day. Scott sees the majority of the games there in Milwaukee. We've got film on all of our players on each game that they play. So I think our knowledge of our players is really good. But as I said earlier, the game plan was to kind of have him stay in Milwaukee longer to play. We just felt that would be the best situation, play top line, power play, penalty kill, and all that stuff. But here we are, when your record's not as well, and we have to accelerate the process a little bit and he's up for it. Like I said, you were at training camp, and you saw that he was one of the best players at training camp.
Yeah.
So far so good. I guess no complaints. I think it's the right thing to do. He doesn't look like he's out of place there at all. But again, we're still looking for some more consistency higher in our lineup. It was good to see Duchesne get a goal yesterday to get us back in the game in the third period. Also get a huge goal in the shootout. And we need more scoring from our top team. Our power play is starting to come around a little bit. We've gotten goals in each of our last I think three or four games by our power play. So that was an area that was really not helping us at all at the beginning of the season, and it's starting to really benefit us on a daily basis each game. So, like I say, we're not anywhere where we want to be, but we're getting closer. And Juice and Goal has played spectacular in the last few games. So, a lot of things to start liking about our team again.
We're talking with David Poile, Nashville Predators GM. Now, David, you just mentioned something about the team and the slow start, and now things seems to be coming all together. Do you think that's a byproduct of the short training camp that you guys had, because if it's a little bit longer, you get to evaluate things a little bit more. Guys get to work together a little bit longer. But because it was short, now you're starting to see these guys playing together, and now things are starting to come together for your team.
Yeah, that could be, but I'm being honest with you. I thought our training camp was terrific, and I think if anything, we didn't give a lot of guys opportunities, which you usually do, and that's why the Parsons, Jankowski's went down without giving them more games. And so your point is accurate. Maybe if we had a normal training camp of days and more games, maybe they would have unseated somebody at that time. But I'm just being honest. I really thought we had a good training camp, and I thought we were ready for the start of the season, and certainly wasn't disappointed by our performance over in Europe, winning those two games. And it's a different year right now for our club, and for not that we want to compare ourselves to anybody else, but you know, in our division, you have the St. Louis Blues that lost 8 in a row, and they've just now won 7 in a row. You know, you got the Pittsburgh Penguins, always been a top team. Long winning streaks, long losing streaks, and you know, I can probably name 6 or 7 teams that are up and down start, if you will. And then you've got some of these younger teams that have been in the bottom for a long time, and their draft choices are now starting to come through for them. Like a team like New Jersey, undefeated in 13 games now. I mean, I think we all thought they would improve, but I don't think anybody saw that much improvement. So it's hockey, and it's you don't know what you're going to get every game. I mean, I can sit here and say I think we're this and that, and I want to be more consistent, but the players kind of determine that out on the ice. And like I always say, the other team's trying to win too. So it's a good league. There's a lot of parity in the league, and you know, we got a big effort for this whole season just to get into the playoffs. I mean, 16 teams that get into the playoffs, there might be, you know, 2 or 3, 4 maybe dominant or more dominant teams, but the rest of us, as you can see in the standings, we're almost a quarter of the way through the season. And other than the Devils and Boston, maybe a couple other teams, there's not much difference from top to bottom after that.
David, you look back, by the way, we're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager. Last night's shootout was pretty unique, and we went back and looked. That's tied for the most goals that the Predators have ever scored in a shootout. You and I have both seen, David, a gazillion shootout wins for the Predators where UC Saros or Thomas Vokoun or Pekka Rinne just stops all 3 shots, you scratch out 1 goal, and everybody goes home happy. But that was quite an interesting shootout last night.
That was unbelievable. Like I say, you know, someday I will be a fan. I will really appreciate that and think that was one of the greatest shootouts ever. No, you're right. Our goaltending has always been really good, and Juice is playing so well right now and played well again last night. And that's the first time I am sure that he's ever let whatever it was, 3 or 4 goals in a shootout. But man, that was that got the heart rate going up pretty high there last night. So I agree with you. If you get one goal, you're just hoping that our goalie can stop 3. So last night wasn't the case, but our shooters came through. Love that.
David, I want to ask you about the progress of Milwaukee. We were talking to Scott Nickel last week, and he was talking about how
unique. And Steve Sullivan.
We had Steve Sullivan around as well talking to him. It was fun to see him. But Scott Nickel was telling us that the Milwaukee team has more rookies than he can remember, and a lot of those rookies are really, really doing well. Some of the guys you mentioned that had excellent training camps. So that's got to be a really good sign for you.
Yeah, well, we're starting to fill the cupboard again. If you go back, I think things go in cycles. When we, you know, got to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2017, which is now 5 years ago, the cupboard got pretty bare with us promoting a lot of younger players on our team. You know, going from Yossi to Forsberg and all these guys that were stars with our team, and then also trading away some, you know, younger prospects and draft picks or what have you. So it's taken a few years to get back there, but we're starting to, as I say, fill the cupboard. We got a, you know, as they say in football, a 5-star recruit, if you will, in goal with Askarov. We got some forwards that we've already called up in Parson and Jankowski. We got Phil Tomasino, who played here the whole year last year, but is playing down there right now, and he's going to get a chance, you know, sooner than later. You know, we've got Igor Vanasev that was a second pick a couple of years ago, and it's his second year in Milwaukee. He's playing much, much better, and I don't have no hesitation to recall him. So it feels good. And then like, when you look to the future, which is part of the, obviously, when you're talking to the manager here, their job of people coming in, like how Zach LaRue was a first pick a couple years ago. You know, he will come into Milwaukee. Svechkov, a first pick 2 years ago, he will come into Milwaukee. So slowly but surely, we're getting the depth and the quality of depth of, and prospects like we used to have. So future's looking you know, much brighter in terms of our ability to call up younger players and to and they actually can make a contribution. And again, for as we've been talking, we've already seen this year, especially with a player like Parson, it looks like he's going to be a really good player for a long time.
Absolutely. David, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. Go take care of business in Detroit, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
All right, to you. See you. David Poile, Predators general manager, joins us every Tuesday at 11:15 as the team will leave here in just a little bit and head to Detroit Rock City to take on the Red Wings tomorrow night. We'll continue here from Vanderbilt University. Coming up next, Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out with you. As we're live at Vanderbilt University today, Vanderbilt taking on Tennessee this week. And this game meaning a little bit more now than it did maybe a few weeks ago, as Vanderbilt has a chance to become bowl eligible. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk to Clark Lee at 1:30 later on today. Hey, be sure to follow us on Instagram at 102.5 The Game Nashville, and also catch the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton. That show is tonight, live from 6 in Peabody, starting at 6 o'clock. The Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers and Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options, and more options means more savings for you. Free quote at xanderinsurance.com. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel is going to be speaking here in just a few minutes, so we will carry that for you. They did make an interesting move that just came through. So yesterday they released Josh Lambeau, who did the kicking Thursday night in Green Bay.
At Lambeau.
Looked fine, yeah. At Lambeau.
Lambeau.
What kind of coincidence was that, by the way?
That was
great. Comes in for one game, and it's at Lambeau, and his name's Lambeau? Come on.
But they released him yesterday, and so everybody was going, okay, either Randy Bullock is good and ready to go, or there's going to be some other move down the pike. Well, here's the other move down the pike. Caleb Shudak, who is the other kicker that was in training camp with the Titans, has been on the PUP list for the whole season.
Oh.
He has been designated to return to practice and still remains on the PUP, but he's now cleared to practice. So I guess maybe Bullock is not
ready to go.
Ready, and Shudak could do the kicking.
You go from
never heard of this guy.
You go from Lambeau to Shudak.
I hope I'm saying his name right, but. Yeah,
man, I don't think anyone, if he's been on a PUP list, no one's heard of him. Did he go on a PUP list right after training camp, or did he go on it during training camp? You just never know.
I never remember
hearing his name.
But don't you think that I would be hard-pressed to have him go in there and kick in a big game coming up
exactly.
on Sunday.
Wouldn't you rather have Lambeau?
I mean, if you want to have him on the practice squad and develop him some behind the scenes, just to throw him in there would seem a little bit crazy. I got to believe that Bullock is on the verge of coming back.
Mm.
Would you rather have Lambeau than a guy that has never kicked?
Yes, but they must have saw something in training camp that they loved.
Maybe.
You know, and he's always that reserved guy.
Maybe they just want to set a record for most kickers used in a 5-year period because they've
been through their gauntlet of kickers. That's an interesting move. You waive Lambeau to bring in another kicker that has been on a PUP list, and he's not off the PUP list.
And has no experience.
Yeah, no experience. Well, listen. Whatever Vrabel's doing, it's working.
Yeah.
So I guess this one will work too. They found a way to keep this team moving forward despite the massive injuries that they have had with this team this year and last year. I wonder what this team is going to look like this week because Danico Autry's down, and he's been that that guy that has quietly done his job, and he's been the most consistent D lineman that they've had. Not taking anything away from Jeffrey Simmons. He's a beast, and everybody knows that. But there's always that one guy that is just consistent at what he does, and he's overshadowed by the superstar guy next to him. But, you know, everyone on the team and everyone in that building understands the job that he does and what he brings to the table. And not having Danico Autry, I wonder what this D-line is going to look like. Jeffrey's still, you know, dealing with the ankle thing. Hopefully he's, if not 100%, close to it. But Dupree, we don't know what we're going to get out of him as far as playing or not.
But you know what? And I know what I'm about to say sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I have seen from the defense is, yes, you miss Jeffrey Simmons. Yes, you miss Danico Autry. But they have some quality depth on that side of the ball that it's like they haven't missed a beat. Now, you would prefer to have those guys in for sure. But I think they've done a great job with, you know, Tier Tart. Mm-hmm. As someone you had never heard of, he's become a player.
Yeah, and he got banged up the other night.
They're all banged up. That's the thing.
It's just amazing, though, how they do find guys, and so it just makes them stronger, because then their circle of reliable players gets bigger and bigger, because then they get the front line guys back, and they're like, well, got to put so-and-so on the practice squad, but we've got him. He's our ace in the hole. Like, Kalu is another great example. Uh-huh. He's here. He's not there. He's on the practice squad. He's back out there. But when they need him, he's in there. And he's like, all of a sudden, he's trying to cover Travis Kelce in the end zone. But they have the ability to find these guys who they can trust enough.
Terrence Mitchell, Mario Edwards, Kevin
Terrence
Strong.
Terrence Mitchell is another good one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I believe it's because that one guy – doesn't make the team.
Like, right.
That one guy, if Jeffrey Simmons is out there, we miss him, but he doesn't make us who we are. He's a part of who we are.
Right.
I think that's why they've been able to do such a good job, whether it's Derrick Henry being out or Jeffrey Simmons being out.
Coming up next, you'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. That's next, 1025, 1063 The Game. Yes, it is. Let's head back to St. Thomas Sports Park here from Mike Vrabel.
You know, you know, the legal process, you know, those things could obviously change. I want to make sure that
there we go.
Something about the legal process.
Yeah. Basically, he started off that we'll continue with Todd as our OC. That could change depending on the legal process and if we hear from the league. So that's how this has started. We'll try and get it back. But it sounds like for now, Todd Downing is staying in place as the offensive coordinator. But which is interesting. I did kind of think that maybe they would
have a resolution.
Yeah, self-police.
But it sounds like it's still
right.
There's still part
and
the
league could have said, "Hey, we need you to wait on us." I mean, look, I would not be surprised if that was something if the league said that. Let's go back to Mike Vrabel.
The team. That's what I expressed, and I'm confident that we'll do that.
So the way you phrased that, I think maybe. You said if the decisions we make require us to be held accountable, you don't feel the decisions that you've made require you to be held accountable?
I think that, again, our focus is on Cincinnati. We understand that, you know, there's things outside of football that we have to deal with. And certainly in this case that we'll have to do that. So this is the decision. This is where we're at right now. And, you know, that could obviously change.
What's plan B if there is a change, Mike?
Well, right now I'm just focused on Cincinnati, and, you know, we've got a bunch of people in place. So, you know, our full focus has to be on Cincinnati. They've won four of their last five games. You know, listen to them talk. This is right where they were last year, and this is really when they started to take off. So we'll have to do the same thing. We'll have to try to continue to improve.
How much of a playoff game, maybe what you knew about them back in January, helped you in preparation for this one?
You know, I mean, this is not a revenge game. More than half of our team didn't even play in that game. But I think trying to have some familiarity with who they are, have a lot of respect for them, obviously, in all three phases. So that might help, Jim. There may be some carryover. You know, I'm sure they're still going to try to get the ball to their elite skill players and whoever those may be based on availability. defensively. They're going to make it tough for you. And, you know, very, very good front and aggressive secondary.
For Ryan, he said, you know, Tannehill, he said this game, you know, last year put him in a dark place. He wanted to attack this year with a new desire for winning. How have you seen him just kind of bounce back from that downtime after losing that game? As a group, you guys lost, but how has he bounced back?
Well, I think that would be best for Ryan to talk through. You know, I think that, you know, coming off the last week's game, you know, we have to try to continue to do that. You can see that when we give him time and, you know, we're available, and he was very accurate. So I think it was a good case of a lot of things coming together, his decision-making, our protection, and guys being where they need to be. So that'll obviously have to continue. We'll see how that that goes against the Bengals.
Well, those lines, do you feel like you've sort of
seen anything from your perspective just in dealing with them this year as opposed to
mental recovery is a big thing for all of us. Right. Our ability to handle things positively and, you know, unfortunately, negatively that happened to us. So our ability to try to keep things into perspective and make sure we understand where we are right now.
How much do you like, given you've made some changes or maybe turned a bit of a corner in the passing game the last couple of weeks, seen some things maybe that you didn't see, you know, earlier in the season at all?
You know, every week is a new page. Every day is a new page in this league. So there's, you know, just about trying to make some progress and improve in a lot of different areas.
How much has the return of Traylon, and especially the game he had the other night, helped to kind of open things up and give you more balance on the offense?
Well, it helped the other night. You know, he was able to track a couple deep balls and you know, continue to improve and develop and, you know, get a lot of great experience. So, you know, we'll see how we, you know, prepare this week and hopefully ultimately what matters is what happens on Sunday.
With the element, though, of the speed and the yards after catch type of thing that he brought the other night, can that help open up things for other guys underneath?
I mean, I think that if, you know, he's taking guys with him down the field, then we probably aren't going to throw it down the field. And if there's one guy, then Ryan feels comfortable, then he'll probably, you know, take a chance. And I think that just building the confidence with the quarterback is critical, that when you throw it, you know, we have an ability to come down with it.
I guess with Caleb returning to practice today, it's safe to say kicking situation for Sunday to be determined.
Yeah, I would say that probably to be determined. You know, we'll see how that goes. Excited to see, you know, Caleb kick and start to work back into the mix. You know, he's worked hard to get back, and obviously we'll see how Randy feels.
Mike, have you noticed any changes in the way Cincinnati approaches their passing game without Chase, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, I think structurally it's probably the same. You know, Joe, those are the guy that's open. I mean, I think he's got guys. I think when Jamar's in there, that's who anybody would probably look to first. Maybe they have a few more plays that were designed for Jamar. But it's still there's a lot of different options. You know, really has got a lot of trust in Hayden and Boyd inside and what T's been able to do outside. Is, you know, if you don't cover the backs, he throws to the guy that's open and they gain yards.
See the same thing from Burrow on film now that you did last year when you were scouting?
Yeah, very accurate. I meant willing to kind of wait some things out. In a quick game, he makes, you know, great decisions. He likes to work, you know, he's comfortable and empty. And, you know, the different, you know, 2x2 concepts, 3x1 concepts that they have.
Mike, regardless
of concussion protocol?
I'm sorry?
Did Ben Jones out of concussion protocol?
No, I don't think the final stages have been cleared there yet.
Mike, regardless of the personnel you guys have had available week in and week out, what have you found from a coaching perspective has been key to helping empower guys to play at their best?
Well, I think you build a, you know, connection with the guys by putting time in and teaching them, you know, trying to give them keys or tips that are going to help them do their job. And, you know, usually guys take advantage of it, you know. So I think guys coming in on a short week and believing that they have an opportunity to play in the game, you know, get some engaged. And then, you know, we try to coach everybody that comes through here.
How much does Jeffries
double rate go up without DeNico there, and how do things change for him?
I think we'll have to see. You know, I mean, there was times where Jeff's single blocked, and, you know, he's got to impact the game. You know, we'll have to have a plan for whatever it is. And obviously a big key will be affecting the quarterback. We know how critical that is each and every week. You know, so we'll kind of have to see how the game unfolds.
You talked after that last game against Cincinnati about getting turnovers. That seems to be an area that your defense has gotten much better at this year. How much more improvement can you get out of
it? Well, I mean, I think a lot. I mean, we've dropped some interceptions. We have to have more attempts, you know, at the ball. You know, we have to hit at it more. We have to punch at it more to try to knock it out of the quarterback's hand. That's no offense to quarterbacks, but that's usually the easiest target on the field. And then when we do knock them out, we have to recover them. So we had one the other night. You know, I felt like coming out of that game, we did some really good things, but, you know, our ball disruption attempts, you know, probably wasn't where it needs to be.
Is there an update on Kyle Phillips returning from IR, eligible now? Do you expect to see him out there this week at practice?
I don't think I'd expect to see Kyle out there this week. Good. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. That's an interesting nugget there at the end.
It's just a long process with the shoulder, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I had my own shoulder issue. It takes several weeks. You know, sometimes you get in your mind when you're a fan, hey, he goes on IR. What are the rules of IR? Well, after, what is it, 4 weeks or four games, you can get to practice. But it doesn't mean every injury you're ready to come back to practice.
Right.
He's just not ready right now. So hopefully before it's all over, he can maybe contribute before the season is done. But it sounds like it's not on the horizon right now.
Yeah, and I think the key for the offense, if they can keep this going, is the fact that you have guys back, that you have Treylon Burks back. I mean, he talked about him taking guys down the field with him. You've said that, Derek, of, you know, how you scheme him open and do that. That they don't have the depth on offense like they do on defense, and therefore it's hurt them. So your hope is that, you know, you can stay healthy on the offensive side of the ball and keep using some of these playmakers that have emerged over the last few weeks.
Well, it's not even because, you know, eventually these guys are going to come back. And they would be ready to go. Now, how long they last, you know, that's a different story. But you knew eventually they were not season-ending injuries and they would be back. I think the challenge for them now moving forward is to be consistent. And I'm not saying be consistent in winning, because they have been that. I mean, consistent in using your playmakers. You know, it shouldn't have come to this offense being damn near dismal for you to start using your offensive weapons, Chigakonkwo, Dontrell Hilliard. Now you got Burks back. You just put it all on Derrick Henry and said, right, we'll ride with Derrick Henry. You're not going to win what you want to win when you're trying to ride Derrick Henry for 17, 18 games. You're just not. You're being bullheaded. Use who you got. Put them in positions to make plays, and you will make Derrick Henry's job a lot easier. You did it last week. They need to do it consistently moving forward before I believe this team can win three games inside the playoffs.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. He'll join us. Willie, I know you're headed to Detroit, so safe travels.
D-Town
for you.
Motor City.
That's right.
Derek's old stomping.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's right. We'll toast to you tonight, D-Mace.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right. Looking forward to it, guys.
All right. We will talk to you
tomorrow, and make a little appearance from Motown, a little underdog action.
Well, we're going to do Silly Underdogs tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
I will be ready. The commish will be ready.
We will talk to you then. Coming up next, Tim Hasselbeck, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.